This morning, turn with us in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. And if you would, as our custom is here, we'll stand this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Boy, if you enjoyed that singing, tell these young people amen. There's a lot of things on my heart to do before I leave out of here. I don't know that God's going to let me do them all. You know, we take health for granted, don't we? Turn me up, Brother Mike, if you would. Boy, when I was young, I never thought about getting up and your shadow hurting you. Amen? Just sort of get up and see what's going to hurt tomorrow. But I tell you, we've took health for granted a lot of mornings. Good to see Brother Larry here with us this morning. Thank God, first time he's been able to be back. Appreciate him being here. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Watch this now. You ought to slap your jaws this morning. You ought to slap yourself and say, wake me up. I dreamed last night I got kidnapped in Pakistan. My God, people, I've never been so glad I woke up. Nothing. I'm so glad I woke up. I said, thank you, Jesus. That was a dream. Man, I was in a prison out there. I don't know how I got there. Look what he said. So like what Brother Lee said this morning. He said, you ought to realize something. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Thank you. Today you may be seated. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you put in our hearts. Thank you for the songs of Zion, the Spirit of God that makes this place what it is. Lord, if you're not here, it's just another pretty building. But, oh God, I'm glad you're here this morning. And now I don't understand why you've chosen me to preach. I don't know why you've called me, but I know you have. Now I pray now, Lord, would you let my office be clear this morning? God, would you anoint me and touch me as your servant? May I empty me of kin. Would you use me to be a blessing to these people this morning? I need you. Oh, I'm a needy preacher today. Help us. And we'll be grateful to you in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Whoever findeth a wife also findeth favor from the Lord. Some of you young people may say, well, preacher, your sermon's boring because I ain't got one. Well, maybe God will give you favor one day to let you have one. My goodness, men, where would we be without our wives? A wife has similarities of the word bringing and in a clarity of the meaning of weaving things together. Boy, I thank the Lord for a good, godly wife. I want to share with you in some scripture. Somebody said this morning that the older people last night, you know, they got together and went to eat. And they said they all took a vote. I won't let them vote in the church, so they voted on the bus. Amen. So they voted, I need to preach about 6 weeks on the wives. Amen. But I may hit rewind and play them two husbands again. Isn't it amazing? He wrote about 5-1 about the husband versus the wife. This morning I want to show you some parallels you may have never seen. It's found in the book of Genesis. If you turn with us today, the book of Genesis, chapter number 24, and if you'd just give me a few minutes this morning, I think it's a very, very timely message. I think that, boy, it's a very powerful passage in Genesis 24. And here we find the story of Abraham going out seeking a wife for his son Isaac.
I'm glad that God put us something down. He said, and Abraham was old, well stricken in age. Age is not a friend to you, is it? He said, I was stricken. Hold on, young people. The death angel don't come for you. It'll catch you. Open the door for these little old ladies. Young men, help these men up down the stairs. It'll be you one day. And the Lord, look here, had blessed Abraham in all things. Time out. Brother Lee read this morning that God said He would take care of all of our needs. Our food, our clothes. But I think maybe we can thank Him this morning for doing a lot more than just our needs. He said He had blessed him in all things. Whatever you got this morning, you can raise your little hand up and say, thank you, Lord, for what you done for me this morning. You may think that you've done it with the gifts you've got, but He can snap your fingers. He can snap His fingers and get everything you got. He can get your health just like that. He said, Abraham said to his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray, be thy hand under my thigh. Now this older servant is a type of the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be a blessing if he ruled over all that we had in our house? Wouldn't that be a blessing if we submitted to him? The Bible said, be you filled with the Spirit of God. Wouldn't that be a blessing if the Holy Ghost ruled over everything in our house? It'd change your home, Mom and Daddy. The Bible said, I pray thee now, put your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me until this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? Now Abraham's been called out of the air of the Chaldees. And he's telling the servant to go back to his homeland and get his son a wife. And the servant says, I'm not sure she's going to follow me back here. We're in Canaan. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In other words, don't take him back to where I was again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram, made that covenant, and swore to him on that matter. Now, verse 10. The servant took 10 camels, underline that, took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he left out. And all the goods of his master was in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahar. And he made his camels to kneel down about the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel, to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thee thy camel's drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, hunting a wife. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. Came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel the son of Malka, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted, let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they've done drinking. She hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, two bracelets of her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" She said to him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Malchah," and she bare unto Nahar. And she said moreover to him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Now, preacher, I want to ask you something. You just read 26 verses. Where do you find the qualities of a wife in that text? Well, I'd ask you something. Is not Abraham the father of our faith? Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, if he's the father of our faith, and he's trusting the high servant to pick him out a wife for his son, then I think there's some great similarities here that Rebecca showed in her life that qualified her to be a good wife. Here we go. First of all, a wife like Rebecca. Notice in verse number 3, her spiritual requirement. Her spiritual requirement. He said, "I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Her spiritual requirement. The Canaanites were pagans. Sir, let me give you some good advice. I know God can do anything. I've seen many things. But I can tell you that the odds are stacked against you if you date or married an unsaved girl. Ma'am, the greatest day in your life is if you would accept Christ as your Savior. He said the spiritual requirement, number one, I don't want you to marry a girl that worships idols. Now, we have a passage in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. And you'll notice that the Bible says something that a lot of times we forget. But he simply said, "And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, unequally yoked marriage, neither will be happy. And many times you will disagree on the most important things of life, and that is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to be bad, sir. I'm going to preach to men and ladies. I can't keep from it because it takes both to have a home. Not a man and a man. In Bowden, Georgia, last week, at a particular store, I walked in. The owner knew I pastored this church. This is what he said. He said, "Pastor, you know what I seen in my store last week?" He said, "I seen two women come in with a child. And that woman, that child, looked up to a woman and called her daddy." Now let me go and make something real clear this morning. It is man and woman that establishes a marriage. Man and man cannot reproduce. God said reproduce and multiply. A woman and woman cannot reproduce. You listen to me, young people. Homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. It don't matter what this world's saying about it. You better put this book in your home. You better put it in your car seat. And you better live by it. And when you're out looking for a wife, young man, you better be hunting you out a saved girl. Thank God I found me a saved girl. I know she is different. Now you're going to have to help me preach a while this morning, you bunch of dead-looking Baptists. And ladies, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell this to you out of love. I'm a very straightforward type preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. I do love you. And I want to tell you, I don't cut any corners. I don't run around the fort and then people leave and say, what did that preacher have to say? I just knock the doors down, shoot the guns, then we go home eat chicken. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. The greatest day in your life is when you can marry you a saved girl. Marry your kind. If you want trouble, don't do that. I'm going to give you the best advice a preacher's ever told you. Marry a girl like you that's saved. Now, God put nationality borders up because of paganism and idols. And if you want trouble, marry a girl that worships idols. And your home will be divided. Am I not telling right, Brother Jake? You're going to come to a time in your life where you'll want to get them in the house of God if you're any man at all. And she's going to be wanting to pull you youngins to her idols. Young ladies, you need to be dating a saved man. If he's not saved, I'd be praying God would save him. And if he won't go to church with you now, don't you think he's going with you after you marry? Now God sent the servant out to find a wife. And he said it ought to be some spiritual requirements. When you date the unsaved, you're dating with danger. When you're courting an unsaved person, you're courting with corruption. You are romancing with ruin. And you're flirting with failure. I'm talking about building a house now God's pleased with. Now I know God didn't do anything. God saved me. Hallelujah. I'm not saying this is cut and dried the way it is. I'm telling you, God didn't do anything. But I'm going to try to save you some heartaches. Men and women, date saved folk. And it'll help you in your relationship. Why you think he said don't be unequally yoked together? And I'm going to tell you, that goes in the business world. You'll want to pay tithes on your business if you're right with God. And that other fellow's going to say, you crazy, we ain't giving our money to no God. And you're going to fuss and fight all the time. And I'm going to tell you what, you're setting up for failure when you fool with unsaved people. Number two. Am I doing all right so far? He said, I want you to go. Don't you marry the daughters of Canaan's? He said, they are idolaters. They're pagans. You listen to me, young people. Listen, listen, listen to your preacher. Listen, young lady. Listen. If he'll not come to church with you now, don't think he'll bring your babies in here later. I admire a young man in this church. He's not here today. He's dating an older lady that had children. They were looking to be married. This is what she said. She said this about this church. I don't like you, preacher. And that's all right. I know everybody don't like me. I don't like your church. And I don't like what you're doing. You know what he said? See ya. El segundo, serenara. See ya. And I commend him for it. A lot of you youngins used to wall-eyed, you so starstruck. You better quit looking at the rapper. I've been fooled a lot by buying stuff by the rapper. Cereal gets me all the time. Who'd ever thought, Brother Derek, cereal been $5 a box at the Piggly Wiggly? Man, I come back and I look at all that stuff, you know, and say, man, this would be good. I pour a bowl. What dog wouldn't eat that stuff? But the rapper got me. Spiritual requirement, number two, verse number 6-8, a submissive spirit. Her role was very much involved. Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Verse number 8, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son hither again. I want to say something in Ephesians 5.
and 22. And you can hold your place and I'll turn there because I've got a speed dial in my Bible. Ephesians 5 and 22. I want to share something with you right here that's always been taken out of context. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You need a submissive spirit. Let me tell you something. A lady should not be a domineering woman. She should not domineer, have a domineering spirit over her husband. When you get out of the role that God established, listen, God has established boundaries. God has established laws. And if you go by those, you're going to suffer. Let me tell you something. Marriage is hard enough with a woman being submissive. And I've got one, thank God for it. And I ain't beat her down to get it either. She wants to serve Christ. Look, follow your husband as the Lord. In other words, you be submissive unto Him because you're doing it unto the Lord. You're not doing it because who He is, it's because who God is. Remember that. He ain't your God. God's your God. Submit your life and follow. Now, if you get out of this role, you're going to be in trouble. Some of you wimpy men, what you need to do is eat some gunpowder in your Cheerios. And you talk in that little Tanner voice, you need to get you a deep voice. There's a boy, went to church here one time, always whining. His wife run everything. I said, son, what you need to do, you need to go in the house one day, just turn the table upside down. Let her know who's boss down your house. Be a man. Go on, say amen, ladies. You don't want no little whippy man at your house. Be a man. God called you to be a man. Be a man. Don't you misuse your wife. Don't you never, ever think about putting your hands on your wife. Anybody can whip a woman. Come bust a Buchanan or a Massey. Pop him upside the head. We know what you can do to the little old girl. One-armed preacher and whoop you. But you listen to me. If we went on this football field at Bowden, the quarterback give the signals in the huddle. We all got in formation. All of a sudden, the other 10 come wanting to be quarterback. You know what? It'd be chaos. And that's where a lot of homes are. Chaos. Because, ma'am, you want to be so domineering and you won't follow the laws of God. You're not to be a doormat, lady. Thank God for it. Don't you think one second I'm belittling you. I'm telling you this. God said you go find a wife that knows her role. I don't believe a wife was ever intended to be a fighter pilot. I know ladies in our culture have to work, but I think we brought a lot of that on ourselves. We don't need two cars and a boat and a driveway. Amen. Oh me, what I say. Raise both hands, say oh me, what I say. But let me tell you something this morning. When a woman is domineering that house, she's out of her role. Boy, it's quiet. You little henpecked rascals. Ladies, you'll have to admit, you like a man that'll take charge and be a man. And a man's got to make some decisions. It's hard. You ought to support him. I'm going to preach a sermon before long on disciplined children. This is very important, ladies. You've got to submit yourself to authority. And I've always watched this in a church. Y'all always watch this. A woman that will not submit to authority in her home will not submit to a pastor in the local church. Thank you. That's good preaching, preacher. I had a lady in the first church I pastored run me crazy. She run her husband crazy. Amen. Know your role. Listen to me, young ladies. You're not to be abused anytime. Young ladies, young girls, anytime that a man or boy misuses you or mistreats you, get out of the situation. Get out of the situation. This church will put you up and house you and feed you. Amen. You're not to stay there in an abusive relationship. But you're to love your husband
be by His side and submit to His authority. Well, that goes against women's lib, don't it? I'd love to see them six heifers that's on TV, that red-headed atheist, be here, sitting here this morning, watch her gag. Y'all think I'm scared? Any God-hating woman don't even deserve rights of time on TV. Wish I knowed her name, I'd call it. Tag team preaching, hallelujah. A few Sundays from now, I may let her preach. It wouldn't bother some of you. Don't bother the Methodist church in town. Get on up here and get you some preaching. God ain't called no woman preach. Brother Sharon, you ever heard of such? Thank God for a wife can help me preach some of them. She can outpreach most of you men anyway. Know your role. Let me tell you something. Hollywood's destroyed our homes. This costs a bunch of rebellious women's on TV telling you to be rebellious. Don't mean it lines up with this Bible. Ladies, would you help me preach? Am I not preaching you right, being a good pastor to you this morning? Number three, dependability. Verse number 11, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, and even at the time that women go out to draw water. Even at a time women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day. Show kindness to my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water. Dependability. The best ability is dependability. I like this too. He looked around a well to find a bride. This is a well. This is where you get spiritual drink. This would be a good place to hunt a wife. Hey, boys! Marry you a beer joint woman. You'll have a beer joint woman if God don't save her. Now look at me like, I'm telling you right. Said verse 11, it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac. Dependability. I want to say this. If a marriage is going to be successful, it must have a lot of dependability. If a husband and wife can't count on each other now, they're going to have troubles. If they are not faithful and dependable now to marriage, they're going to have a lot of trouble. You know, bad habits and faults are in small letters before marriage. But then, after marriage, they come out in capital letters. In other words, what he's doing now that's not dependable, ma'am, it's going to get worse when he marries you. Sir, if she's not dependable now, she's going to be worse after you get married. Thank God for dependable. Anybody glad they got a dependable woman? You know where my wife's always been at night? Home. Did you know she's dependable to keep my clothes together? She's dependable to cook meals. She's dependable to have raised her children. Let me tell you something. If you want to get in a mess at the Bowman house, cross Miss Bowman. And you got two little wildcats she's raised. They're inseparable. I mean, if you battle one, you got three. And it's sort of like this. You know, the bulldog can whoop the skunk, but it ain't worth the stink. Is that not right this morning? It's not worth it. Because they walk in and see mama's lips pooch. What'd you do to mama? So praise God, I'm going to the deer stand. Can I get a witness? Dependable. Man, don't we need to have dependable people? Church, we need dependable people here. Our children are counting on us to be... Your children are depending on you. Did you know you got people sitting in this church depending on you? He said at the time that women come out to draw in the evening, said that you need to have your dependable lady. Ladies, be dependable. Be there for your husband. Be there for your children. Be there for your church. Be dependable. Listen, don't make your husband late with everything he's going to. Boy, it's quiet. Let me get a drink of water right there. Don't make him late. Listen, y'all look up here. How come you get to your job at 8 o'clock, but you late for church all the time? Right? Don't let him be late. You know you got church tomorrow. You know you've got a meeting someplace. Help him get there. Be dependable. If they're not faithful now, listen, young ladies, they won't be faithful down the road. Watch this. You're going to like this. Number 4, verse 15 through 16, appearance. Let it come pass, damsel, to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher. I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels also. He said in verse number 15, came to pass, behold, he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel. Verse 16, the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was looked nice. Now I'll say this, good appearance does not require extraordinary good looks. Look at me. Watch this. Boy, watch this. Somebody's going to throw a book. You ready? Boy, this right here is a fine thought. You ready? Even when she was doing her chores, she looked good. Well, I like these old sweatpants I wear 9 days a week. Listen to me, ladies. If your husband never sees you looking nice, but he sees it everywhere else, his head may be turned. You don't like that, do you? Men go beside. Like Brother Lee said, I tried to listen to what Brother Lee's illustration was, something about a woman on a clothesline or something. But, in other words, not taking care of herself. Listen, y'all can be like me and not have a lot of good looks about you. But you can be clean. You can brush your grill once a week. Somebody say amen right there. You run a comb through your hair. Look presentable to your man. Let me show you something. You're not going to like it. But I didn't write it. I've got to find it. Proverbs 7, verse 5. I'm going to say something right here. And a lot of you are going to wonder why I read it. Well, just keep in mind I didn't write it. Proverbs 7, verse number 5. Now, I want you to notice how a woman turns a man's head and gets him in trouble when it's not at his house. Proverbs 7, verse 5, he says, verse 6, for the window of my house I looked through my casement. Oh, man, looked out. Now, I'm going to give you wisdom. He said, I looked out the window and seen something. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Sort of borderline. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, the black and the dark night. Boy, them critters love to come out at night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. I'm not suggesting you ladies to dress like a harlot, and you shouldn't. But I'm going to tell you something. If you never dress up for your husband, and they're always seeing everybody else dress up, they won't know why you ain't dressing up. I know that'd go flat. Watch this. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without now in the streets and lieth away at every corner. So she called him and kissed him with an impudent face and said to him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I've paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligent to seek thy face, and I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works with fine linen of Egypt. She's got him in the house now. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love to the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. She's a two-timing woman. He hath taken a bag of money with him. Will come at home the day appointed. Her man's too busy to be at home with her. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth through the snare, knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Somebody say amen right there. I know the man had my job at Pepsi one time. He is running a chip wrap in a week because he got stupid. Watch. Underline it, verse 27. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Her house is the way to hell. Going down the chambers of death, her appearance looked good to him. Even in her work. Take care of yourself, ladies. Men, watch this. Well, she don't look like she used to. What you look like, man? I mean, I ain't seen Esquire call none of you. I ain't seen Sports Illustrated notify y'all. You better thank God it ain't all in the wrapper. My wife don't look like she used to. You don't either. You worse. Lady, say amen to you, preacher. That's weak. Hey, ladies. Look, she is very fair to look at. I say this with all cleanliness and purity. Look good to your husband. Man, Miss Renee done broke out some of these new outfits. She come through the house Saturday. You say 33 years? Yes, sir! Yes, sir! I say, hallelujah, girl, you're looking good today. She a pepper step up. She come out last night before going to dinner. She said, hun, how's this look? Brother Lee, you exactly right. I said, darling, that looks marvelous. Her attire, her appearance. Verse 16. Watch back now this text. Man, I got to get on this thing. Verse 16. I'm going to tell you what, there's a pretty good parallel in it. Is it not? Is this not right preaching? Wouldn't you rather go to a place that would tell your husband that a strange, dark woman would get him a lot of trouble and destroy your home? Wouldn't you rather me tell you, ma'am, to take care of yourself and keep your eyes of your husband to you? I wasn't born yesterday. Verse 16, moral requirements. She said, the damsel was very fair to look upon and a virgin, neither hath any man known her. She was not a hooch. Modest dress. Ladies, if your dress ain't enough to clean out a gun barrel, you ain't got enough dress on. I'm sorry. But I pastor red-blooded rednecks here. Oh, yeah. And some of you boys are going to say, oh, I'm an oak. Yeah, you oak, all right. You fixing to fall. Man, y'all looking like, what's he going to say now? Hey, it's in the Bible. Listen to me. More requirements. Listen to me, young man. If she's not true to you now, she won't be when you marry her. Listen to me. Boy, I dated a girl. I just thought that was the love of my life in Tennessee. Listen to this. I got the flu, and my boyfriend took her out on a date that weekend. If some of y'all help me smile, this sermon would go a whole lot better. Let me ask you something. If her moral qualities was not what it needed to be, then what you going to think after 30 years? You take these young boys, young girl. Let me tell you something. You better be marrying something besides pretty teeth and haircut. Because I used to have all that. I did. I mean, man, I had a curling brush. Back in the bell-bottom days in the stacks, I had a curling brush and a blow dryer. Now it's one-stop shop. Wash rag. I'm done. Morals. Young ladies, keep yourself pure. They'll teach you sex education. Let me tell you the best sex education you've ever heard. Abstinence. Listen to me, young ladies that I pastor this morning. If she'll not wait for you, you listen to me, young ladies. If he won't wait for you, dump him. Don't let him pressure you to get in a bad situation. I know some of you don't like it, but I don't care. I'd rather try to save your children from heartache just because you ain't got guts enough to tell them. Let me tell you something. You take a little young punk, pull up in the driveway and blow his horn. You let your girl go get in that thing and he's got a Budweiser sticker on the back. Where do you think that punk's taking your girl? He taking them to Bible class. First thing I'd do, I'd get in his car. If I seen any seed burns in his seat, she ain't going. Man. See, when you smoke weed, them seeds pop and burn things. Somebody say amen right there. Some of you smiling, you've been there too. Some of you looking around like, what's he saying? It wasn't in your era, but it was mine, and it's here today. So hang on with your preacher this morning. We're going somewhere. I'd know what my young'uns is doing. You just push them out to the world and you wonder, preacher, what happened? What happened? It's hard enough to make them sit there to 16. Little young punk. Come to our house. Yes, preacher. No, preacher. Yes, sir. No, sir. It's hard enough. Now, you're going to get me mad. Moral requirements. If he's cussing now, what's he going to say later? If she's cussing, and let me tell you something. If he don't say yes sir, no sir to his mom and daddy, I'd be looking at him in one eye. Preacher, you're so old-fashioned. Thank you. If a girl's got bad language and don't dress modest, what's going to happen when you've been married 10 years? Let me tell you something, ladies. You come out of that house and you go to work trying to appeal to somebody else, you're wrong. Let me say something. Why do you dress up to go out and you don't dress up at home? Amen. Verse 14, unselfishness. I'm getting there. Hang on. Most of the time my sermons are better. Most of the time they're not this cutting. Come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Her unselfishness, she was not self-centered. Listen, ma'am, it's not always about you. Sir, it's not always about you. Do you always insist on doing what you want to do? Man, I see some men take their wives out. That's got to be misery. Listen, your husband needs some room. Let him do some things he enjoys. Sir, let her do some things that she enjoys. If he loves to hunt, why in the world are you trying to keep a man at home all day Saturday that God has made him an outdoors person? And you trying to change what God's put in him? Let him enjoy himself. Come home in the evenings and go to dinner and have a great time. But you've got to quit being so self-centered. I heard this one time. A man is working, and he went out and bought something, and his wife just throwed a fit about it. Well, I could understand they didn't have food on the table, but sometimes when a man works like a dog, he wants a few things that he enjoys. Man, I done preached so long, I can't even get an amen. You don't need to be a nagging wife. Did you know my wife... Now, this is amazing about Miss Renee. I was so consumed with talk. She has never one time said and throwed a fit because I bought something that I wanted. I worked for it. Well, you want to preach? Enjoy life together. Sir, let her go out and have a time that she enjoys. You can't put her in a corn crib and lock a door. I can't let my wife go out and trust her. Why can't you trust her? I'm trying to help y'all. Unselfishness. Don't be so selfish. God help me, don't be so selfish. You boys got all kind of guns, and look, your wife ain't even got nothing to wear. Go buy her Coach pocketbook sometime. Go buy her something she enjoys. Verse 18, manners. She said, "Drink, my Lord," and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. She showed respect and responsibility. Thank God for ladies that have good manners. When your husband does good, thank him for it. Don't embarrass him publicly. Man, you want to belittle your husband in a crowd, makes him feel like a checker. Support him and encourage him. Then, I don't know, I guess I say cut this sermon off like a stick of bologna. I got two more points. Y'all gone. I mean, I can tell when I've lost a crowd. I've been doing this nearly 30 years. Y'all gone. Y'all left. Y'all left. You're wimpy. You left. Some of you done got your feelings hurt and you got your lip rolled out. I hope you step on it when you leave. Her task. She's a busy lady. He brought 10 camels. She watered them all. She ran again down in the well. You know what they had to do? They had to go down in the well, put the bucket in, draw the water out. Boy, her task. Proverbs 31:10 is a virtuous woman. What a great passage. Then lastly, I close with this. Verse 24-26, family relations. She said, you know what? She said, there's some stuff down there at Daddy's house I'd like to share with you. Ladies, be cordial and social and polite. Your in-laws are counting on you to be nice. Some of you got in-laws you don't get along with. You know why? It's probably you. Now, I got both my son-in-laws right here this morning. I'm going to say something. You see them three grandbabies on that bench? They've got mom and daddies. They counting on my girls to be cordial with their people. One of the horriblest things could ever happen to me is them two boys turn on me and Renee and say, you ain't going to see our kids. Boys, you want to tear our hearts out? There's where it's at. I stop by the house. I say, where's the grandyoungins? Well, Daddy, what about me? I ain't talking about you. I done raised you. Where's them grandbabies? I know there's some tough mom-in-laws. I had a great one. She loved me. Got a great daddy-in-law. You might not want to go over there every weekend, but listen, be cordial, be polite. Don't put a barrier up to keep you. Don't let you be the reason that they can't enjoy you and them babies. Don't let you be the reason. Don't let you be the reason. Suck some things up and go on. He's counting on you to love His people. Don't care what they do to you. Don't matter. They're counting on you. He needs you, ma'am, in your home to keep that thing together. Appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate the Lord. You know, when Abraham sent his servant after a wife, he knowed what to look for, didn't he? Ladies, try to pattern yourself after this book. Sir, try to pattern yourself about this book. You'll never go wrong doing what this book says. Thank you for coming today. Stand with us. I do.